You're listening to Two Dudes, One Disc, where the most sought-after music journalists, the greatest minds in the history of... You really gonna make me read this
Just read it!
Take on the most influential albums of all time. Here's your host, Michael Heideman, on Two Dudes, One Disc.
Yeah, welcome into another episode of Two Dudes, One Disc. Today we take on the mega smash hit that took three young girls from Atlanta, Georgia, to begin one of the biggest, ultimate careers of their lifetime, the biggest group on the planet, Teyon Watkins, Rezonda Thomas, Crystal Jones, and Lisa Lopez, otherwise known as TLC. And who better to take on the smash hit than the beat slayer herself, the resident WGN song spinner, and one of the hottest DJs in all of Chicago, Kasara Henning, a.k.a. Wow. DJ Cashera.
What an intro.
What's going on?
I don't know if I'm the best person to take on this album, but I appreciate the entire intro. Thank you.
Well, we're already into the album, so now you're stuck, and at least till the end.
I am in it. I'm here. I'm ready. Let's do this.
So that we just listened to the interlude. The intro interlude, as they call it, the intro lude.
Yes.
Of the album, Crazy, Sexy, Cool. And you were saying just right from the start, it just gets to you, right?
Yeah, it's like, because it's the way it even kicks off. Like, you don't even hear any of the girls in the first track. Mm-hmm. It's like you're hearing these guys talk about, like, what girl of the group they want to chase after. Because I feel like each member, while they all embody Crazy, Sexy, Cool, mm-hmm. just separately looking at every single one of them, mm-hmm. you can see like which one possesses the crazy, which one has the sexy, which one has the cool. Like, in my personal opinion, I feel like if you break it down, Lisa Left Eye carried the crazy.
Yeah.
She was like the very outspoken
one. Oh, you mean the one that burnt down somebody's house carried the crazy?
Yeah, exactly. She might carry the crazy a little bit. And then like the sexy and cool, I feel like oh, man. I feel like T-Boz mm-hmm. carried the cool.
Okay.
While Chili carried the sexy.
Yeah.
But I think those two are interchangeable.
And none of them were The Creep, and that's our first real song on the album.
Yes.
TLC's Creep. And if you were a kid in the 90s in watching MTV, this was like almost your awakening to this band. One of the best songs in the 90s. I think it was on every single mixtape that I heard during that time.
Because the beat, like the horns in the background, mm-hmm. just hit in a different type of fashion. But I feel like one of the main reasons why they were so monumental is because they just talk so unapologetically about, I mean, creeping around, cheating, about sexual things. Like, a lot, there weren't many women artists mm-hmm. that were even doing this in the 90s or mm-hmm. before that. They added like an R&B twang to it, which was so different. And then you still had Left Eye, who brought in the rap.
Yeah,
so
you're
right. Never had R&B and rap brought together by women doing it. I mean, you had Salt and Pepper, but they were both rapping.
Mm-hmm.
So TLC was the first group to bring R&B with rap as one.
That's a great thing to point out, is the fact that they brought so much instrumentation into this album that yes. you didn't even see before. And especially in a time when hip-hop and R&B was really getting its foothold in American culture. I mean, this was one of the albums that, I mean, hearing this from the first 10 seconds, you're already in.
Right.
You're I'm into this album.
Yes.
Yeah.
And their dance moves definitely stick. Like, I play this during my sets, and I still see people that hit the dance moves. Like, the little swing arm with the knees, it's uh-huh. a hit. I don't know what it is, but it's like, as soon as you hear the beat, you remember exactly what they did in the music video.
Yeah, you know what? On this podcast, we often watch the clips of the music videos, and we're watching the music video right now, and these immediately flashed me back to being like 13, 14 years old and
yes.
seeing this and being like, oh my gosh, who are these women? And made me want to learn how to dance. They have hips like Elvis.
They do.
And like, they're wearing these great pajama, like cloth kind of clothes,
yes.
silky.
Like,
silky
the outfits,
looks.
I think the outfits alone are just so important, because I feel like they were almost challenging like masculinity
mm-hmm.
just by their different outfits. Like, to where, like, Aaliyah did the same thing though.
Yeah.
So where they're wearing like the different boxers, whether it was like Joe Boxer or Fat Farm, whoever was out in the 90s. Like you would wear the boxers.
Yeah.
And then bring them up a little bit and then have your pants come below them. And they're wearing like flannels, like bandanas around their head, like how Tupac used to wear his. It's like they're challenging what women should be seen as appropriate to wear.
That is so interesting to think about because, yeah, you wouldn't see a lot of people breaking the barriers with their clothing and then have the talent to back it up. You know, it's like they weren't gimmicking for anybody. Right. They were just straight up great artists.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm sorry, I'm getting lost in this music video again.
No, it's all good. But like, even their pajama sets, and it's silky pajama sets, but I think it's the men's cuts.
Yeah, it is. It is the men's cut.
It's the button down with the pants.
That's
they're not
so
in nightgowns.
True. Yeah,
they're in two piece sets.
And especially Lisa Left Eye Lopez, it was that great kind of flannel look that you see from 90s grunge, but they were taking it and making their own and bringing it to R&B and hip-hop.
Yes.
Oh.
Which also, rest in peace, Left Eye.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Man, we'll get into her a little bit. Oh, she does her handstand across that. Oh, what a great music video. What a great, great start to an album.
And actually, she did not like this song.
Really?
Yeah.
How
Left
come?
Eye did not like this song because she... Her thing was, instead of telling a woman like to get back and creep around and cheat, mm-hmm. just tell her to leave. Mm-hmm. So when they were in the studio writing the song and had the idea for it, she was not for it at all. And they got into a lot of arguments over that song, actually.
Interesting. I would not want to get in an argument with Lisa.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I would not either. With her track record, not at all.
Let's get into the next song, Kick Your Game. Now, this is great. We were talking a little bit about... the album, and I was telling you that I owned the album back in the 90s, but
yes.
I never listened to it all the way through.
You're tweaking.
What is it about this album that made you really get into it, like from the start? I mean, what about this album spoke to you when you were growing up?
I think one of the first things was that my mom heavily put me on to TLC.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up first knowing their very first album, Ooh, on the TLC tip.
Mm-hmm. Which was your other choice for
yes,
favorite album?
That was my other choice because I feel like both albums are just so important. Like the first album, that was their breakout. Like that was their start. But transitioning from that into this, you can just... see that they were more so finding their sound. Like a lot of the first songs on the first album kind of started off the same way with like mm-hmm. the same intro melody and whatnot, but with this album it was kind of like they were all finding their own parts of what made them into TLC.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was just I don't know, I think whoever did the production on the beats definitely made it stick. I'm very biased. I'm a 90s head easily. I prefer 90s music over today's music any day.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what it really was just to see three women of color mm-hmm. like in the media singing and dancing
mm-hmm.
in like an industry that is very male dominated. It was so refreshing to see these three women like killing the game.
Yeah.
I feel like to an extent like TLC like made a path for Destiny's Child to then come in next and take off and do what they did.
Without TLC, there would absolutely be no Destiny's Child.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just because there was no one who brought the talent like TLC did.
Yeah.
And then it was them. Then and Brandy was getting really big.
Yep.
And then yeah, like you said, Aaliyah. And
yeah.
this was the perfect fusion of hip hop, R&B, great pop music,
yeah.
great beats. I mean, if you listen purely to the background of this song, it sounds like it could be a Britney Spears song.
Yeah, it does.
And it does. So I think that just the perfect interfusion of all these like artists and all this great sound is what made them so great. And that's why this music can live on. It can live on a lot longer than a lot of the pop music that
Absolutely.
Happened in 90s
yeah.
music.
I feel like TLC definitely is one of those groups that made a ton of songs that can still be played today. And it still holds to be very true. Like this song right here is called Kick Your Game. And it's essentially like calling out men who want to shoot their shot at a girl, and it's just mm-hmm. like telling them like do it properly, like mm-hmm. come correct or don't come at all,
mm-hmm.
which I feel like that is so vital. That was vital then, but I feel like it's even more so vital now
mm-hmm.
with people trying to tackle toxic masculinity.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like they were doing that in the 90s and mm-hmm. didn't even realize it. Like the songs are still hot. Like if you can go anywhere, because I work with a lot of high schools, and there are times where I'll just take a chance and I'll play like No Scrubs. That's not on this album, but it's still one of their songs. Mm-hmm. I'll play like No Scrubs or I'll play Creep, and the entire school will know it.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I'm talking like elementary, like age kids, to where they're like maybe eight to 12 years old, and they know the song by heart. They love it. They sing like they've been hurt, and it's like, you haven't even dated anybody yet. Like, why are you singing like this? But I think it's beautiful when you can see just the type of legacy that artists have left behind. Even though they may not be currently making new music and they're not on tour or whatever, their music is still just so generational.
Yeah.
That it's hitting multiple ages. Because, I mean, my mom is, she's in her 40s. I'm in my early 20s. And I love these songs just as much as she does. And then I have... And then to go DJ in high schools and with elementary kids and see that they love the same songs.
Yeah.
It's like, it's rare that you see that.
How the hell did those kids know what these songs
are? That's the question. Like, every time I do it, a lot of the teachers don't even know it. A lot of the teachers now, I feel like some of them are younger, a lot of them are like middle age, but they're constantly trying to keep up with today's newer music, thinking that they need to know that to relate to the kids. But then when I come in and I'll play like a full 90s set, and they know all of the songs. The teachers are confused, like, how do they know this? They weren't alive yet.
Did you just incept our children's minds?
Right. Like, they are so confused. And it's, I mean, because now, I mean, you have to think about it. People who are graduating from high school are born in 2000 and later.
That makes me, my mind just exploded just now that you said that.
Like, people who are leaving high school going into college are now born in 2000 and later than that.
Yeah.
So... Like, my brother was born in 2003, and he's going into his junior year of high school.
Whoa, hold the phone. That's, I guess you're right.
Yes.
Oh, man, that just really made it real.
That is like, how crazy the age gap is.
I need to calm down a little bit with a little digging on you from TLC.
This is honestly one of my favorite songs from them. This is one of my favorite songs.
We're watching again the music video, them coming down in a TLC helicopter.
I really miss the helicopter scenes in music videos, because I feel like almost every artist had at least some type of scene where there was a helicopter or an airplane, and it was always in the desert. Like,
oh, yeah.
P. Diddy did it with Maze, Tupac, and...
With California
and,
Love.
Yes, California Love did it. Mariah Carey did it with Honey, and she was like, had the helicopter, and she's jumping in the pool.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of 90s artists always had a helicopter.
And where did it go? It's like, that's, I mean, they're still around.
Man, I feel like 90s has some of the best music video concepts ever.
They really do. Do you have a certain favorite 90s music video that you can just recall?
Oh, Missy Elliott, Can't Stand the Rain.
Oh, God.
I think that one. TLC's What About Your Friends, that was a good one. Or Ain't Too Proud to Beg, because Left Eye had a condom around her eye. Wait, cut out of glasses.
Why do I remember that?
But I remember that so clearly, because it was like so outlandish. Like, who is, like, I remember people would get mad, like, who is this girl, why does she have a condom in her glasses? And it's like, it's almost like she's telling you, like, people are going to have sex regardless.
Yeah.
You might as well just preach about safe sex.
Yeah.
And I feel like she was definitely doing that by putting a condom in her glasses.
You know, but isn't she worried about, like, a staph infection or something? You know?
No, I mean, it was in the rapper.
Oh,
it was still in the rapper.
Okay,
yeah.
That's good.
But I remember that one vividly. It was green. I know it was a green condom. I don't know why I remember that so vividly.
You know what? We have the power of the internet. I could look it up for us real quick, too. You know, actually, I've been thinking about doing that for my sets. You know,
you
just
should.
Around the city. Just, you know,
should.
Condom in the eye.
You should.
Yeah, I think it'd be, you know, I'd preach safe sex.
It challenges so much.
Yeah, it does. Now I just need to know where to buy them. I mean, that's the only hard part. But
you can get them for free. That's the thing. Like, they give out condoms so easily for free. I think they should give the same energy to, like, giving women tampons and pads.
Yeah.
Because it's like, sex is a choice. You know, you choose when you want to have sex. Women cannot choose when they want when they want to catch their period. See, mm-hmm. right there.
I see it now. Man, boom. That could there be a more 90s photo, by the way? Did she wear this on the Oprah show, too?
Yeah, see, that right there.
Wow.
That is what I remember so vividly. I don't know why.
Okay, for people who are listening and they're like, what the heck are you guys
talking? Right, they're like, what the hell are they looking at?
We're looking at, like, a straight out of a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air episode. It's like, this. Yeah. It's a green hat. We're talking yellow shirts, bright, bright colors. And then, of course, a big old green condom in the Lisa Left Eye Lopez's glasses.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, they went for it, and they weren't afraid of being themselves,
which is
really cool. They were
so unapologetically themselves.
That is so rare to find, because it's hard to be that genuine and that far out and not look like you're faking it.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of artists today who have a team behind them to be like, oh, you know, maybe we could do some research. Yeah, I'm thinking condom in the eye this week.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, we got to Instagram that. We got to do that. This is before there was any social media. And
right.
They were doing social change before social media.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, plus, they just seemed like so much fun. But also, like, they were really, really young. I've watched almost every TLC documentary there is.
How old were they when they put out this album? Because this came out on November 15th, 1994.
See, I wasn't even born yet when this album came out.
Wow.
I wasn't even born yet.
I remember when 1994, it was probably one of the best years for music. Because if
really?
You think about it, it was this album had just dropped. Weezer's The Blue album dropped. There was
okay.
a lot of great rock albums that came out. But at the same time, hip-hop and R&B and the MTV era was just the
insane.
Biggest thing. Making music videos was
I'm
was
jealous
key.
That I wasn't, like, older during this era. I feel like I caught the tail end of it.
I think you're doing just fine with the age you got. I think you got
Thank you.
You already know all the songs and all the kids
That's
know the
thanks
song too.
To my mom. When I tell you my mom put me onto everything,
yeah.
she put me onto everything. Like Toni Braxton, Mary J. Blige, TLC, Aaliyah, everybody and anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Genuine. Like my mom. But my mom was like, because I listened to her and her friends talk, and they would always say that my mom was the one that was always up on music, like
mm-hmm.
before it would get hot.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
wow.
Yeah, it's like Toni Braxton and John B. She was like listening to them for like a year or two before anybody else really gave them the time of day.
Man, do you think that, I mean, obviously that's probably where your musical inspiration came from, but do you remember that first album your mom might have put on when you're like, wow, you know, music is kind of my thing. I think that I could turn this into something that I can make money with.
You know what? I don't think I ever thought about it like that until I hit high school.
Mm-hmm.
Like my mom, when I was in eighth grade, when I graduated, my mom just like out of nowhere decided to hit up one of the talent that was on 103.5 at the time. His name was Scotty K.
Okay.
And he just told her like, hey, my daughter graduated from eighth grade. Can she come shadow you at the station? And he said, sure. Like my mom is like super mom, I swear. But I went and I shadowed and it was like, yo, this is cool. And then I went through our high school and I always had that in the back of my mind, but didn't think much of it.
Mm-hmm.
I originally wanted to study forensic science. And then
forensic science.
Yeah.
Wow.
Way left field. I know.
Cassara the scientist?
Yeah.
Oh,
I
man.
Loved
I
you
know
loved
what, I
forensic
can see
science.
That. I can see it.
Yeah, I love forensic science. But it was literally maybe like 6 months before graduation. And I was like an Illinois State scholar. I got into all these different schools and universities.
Mm-hmm.
And I started really thinking, like, do I want to work in forensic science for the next 50 years?
Mm-hmm.
Like, will I be happy? And my mom was like, you know, you could do radio. You like music, like talking to people. So I went on a whim. I was like, you know what? Yeah, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try out radio. And I went to Columbia and I fell in love with the school just from like going to an informational meeting. And that was it. I went to Columbia. My freshman year, I started DJing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my mom saw the potential in it before I did.
Mm-hmm.
I just looked at it like, oh, this is just like a class I'm taking. It's a cool hobby, whatever. And all the music that I was spinning then was music that I already downloaded because of her.
Mm-hmm.
So I started off already having like 500 songs in my library
wow.
off jump. And my professor was even impressed. He was like, I'm surprised you know these songs so well.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, my mom would just always give me little hints like, you should get business cards. You should invest in this. You should buy this and this and this and this.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's to the point where I basically DJ full time.
Yeah.
And she loves it. Like, she loves all the different gigs I get booked for. She comes to whatever she can, but I know for a fact that a lot of the reason why I am doing as well as I am is because of the music that she put me onto when I was little. Mm-hmm. And I really think that some of the most monumental artists are like mainly women. But also there's some rappers in the early 2000s. Like, she took me to my first concert when I was like 8 or 9 years old. Mm-hmm. And I went to go see Nelly.
Okay.
And I think Nelly and Fat Joe.
Nelly, early 2000s Nelly?
Yeah.
Wow.
Early 2000s Nelly, like St. Lunatics
Nelly. That
was
hot here.
Yes.
Nelly.
Yes, St. Lunatics Nelly. And it was so cool. And I just remember like sitting there and I'm just looking at all the bright lights and Nelly comes out. And it was really, really cool. But she took me to a lot of concerts when I was little. So I was always hearing DJs. Mm-hmm. And I always knew who my favorite DJs were on every single radio station. I just didn't imagine that I would one day be a DJ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now you are. You know, it's because I think that you surrounded yourself with a lot of real people.
Yeah.
And you did not do A Case of the Fake People.
No,
which
not
is
at
our
all.
Next song. Case of the Fake People by TLC.
Not at all.
So let's keep going with your story. It's incredible to see where you've gone to because your mom made you the outlier from the get-go. I mean, you had that musical mind before anybody even put a record in your hand or you got even to spin your first disc.
Yeah. My mom, oh man, when I was little, my mom always had a truck. Mm-hmm. She had an Explorer and then she got her dream truck was an Expedition. But I don't know if anybody, I hope people remember, but you used to put like these CD cases on your visor to hold your CDs.
Oh, I remember that like it was yesterday.
Yes.
Yes. That and like the big old fat Bible books that you'd have too.
Mm-hmm. So she didn't have the Bible book, but she had the visor things. But she would like stack in CDs to where like the first opening would have like 25 CDs in it, just straight CDs. And then going back from there, it'd be at least 4 to 5 CDs in every single slot.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember like if she would hit a bump or a turn too hard, CDs would come falling in your lap. So I was constantly just seeing CD covers.
Mm-hmm.
And now that, you know, we've moved to a digital age, she doesn't use the CDs as much. I've taken all her CDs and just burned every single one into my library. To just have all the songs. But I just so vividly remember, or like, she would ask me to give her a certain CD out of like the passenger side. And I would know where the CD was, or at least what it looked like.
Because
she would always explain to me like what the cover looked like. Because it may not have the artist's picture on it. But she would just say like, oh, get the Janet Jackson CD. It's black and has white and gray spots trickling down it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would remember what the CD cover looked like, which is exactly what the album cover looked like. They weren't that clever with album designs
in the early
90s and early 2000s.
They kind of had like their own template for that.
Exactly.
That is so interesting that your mom would have you look for these album covers, and that's kind of what stuck with you in your mind.
Yeah.
So was art really important to you as far as, because as people may or may not know, you're a DJ here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You driving around in your own custom
in the DJ car,
DJ
the cash
car.
Mobile.
Now, and it has your logo on the side of it.
Yeah.
So how important is art when it comes to your music too?
I think art is so crucial.
Mm-hmm.
And various forms of art, not just visual art. I got my start in DJing. Like, my very first paid gig was doing poetry bouts.
Mm-hmm.
So I hold poetry bouts to a very high esteem in my heart. Mm-hmm. They will always have my heart no matter
what.
Now,
what do you mean by poetry bouts?
So I work with Young Chicago Wilders Louder Than a Bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And they hold the world's largest youth poetry festival in the world. And a poetry bout is where you have these poets come up and it's a competition.
Mm-hmm.
So they go up, they read their poem, and you have 5 judges that give them a score from 0 to 10. And that's the competition.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always these schools and it's different kids from all over the city of Chicago. And they go up against each other as a team. But, excuse me, they'll do individual poets. So just one person goes up by themselves. Then they do a team, like a group piece,
mm-hmm.
and you have 4 people go up and do 1 poem together.
Wow.
But, I mean, they add in theatrics, they add in, like, singing, mm-hmm. dancing, everything,
mm-hmm.
and it becomes an entire performance that you're watching.
Is it pre-written?
Or they pre-write it.
Okay.
They pre-write it, they rehearse it, they memorize it, but, I mean, it's still just, but their poems are always so hard-hitting,
mm-hmm.
and they talk about things that are, like, political,
mm-hmm.
emotional. Sometimes they even cover like traumatic experiences that they've all gone through,
mm-hmm.
and it's just it's amazing to watch these these young people of Chicago and beyond go on a stage and just talk about what they've been through. And it's very inspiring. So I hold that to a very high esteem forever and always. As far as any other art, I love recap videos of events. Mm-hmm. I had an artist make one for one of my previous events, and watching the recap video, I felt like I wasn't even at the event myself. I was just like, where was I at for mm-hmm. this? I missed everything.
You were working. You were behind. I was behind the booth.
I was so working that event. Like I watched the video and I was just like, wow, this looks like a really, really nice event. I wonder who put this on. And then he told me, he was like, oh, this is your video. I was like, oh, this is my event. Wow, I did a really good job. Thank you so much. Like, I had no idea. And then with my logo, I love my logo.
Yeah.
Where
did it come from? Wait, actually, hold on to that story real quick. Let's dive into our next song. It's the interlude, the Crazy Sexy Cool Interlude.
I like how they had multiple interludes.
You know, that's another thing that's kind of lost. And we're going to pause. We're going to talk about the logo in a second. But, like, it's kind of lost in the 2019 music scene. I think it comes from our lack of attention. But remember when Marshall Mathers came out? I mean, he did all those little skits. And then there was Snoop Dogg did a lot of skits too.
Yes.
And now it's kind of a lost art form because nobody's listening to CDs anymore.
That's facts. Yeah, it's rare that you have artists put out an entire project where you play the entire album.
Mm-hmm.
And even I can admit that I fall guilty of that because I feel like there's just always new music being released every single day.
And there's so many platforms that you can find music on right now that it's not even fair to
SoundCloud, Tidal, Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora. It's like nonstop music every single day.
You can just throw something up on YouTube.
Yeah. It's hard to keep up with, for sure. So I can honestly admit that it's rare that I listen to an artist's full album. I think the last full album that I listened to was Lil Nas X's EP titled 7.
How many did it have 7 tracks on it? How long was it?
It might have had 7.
Okay.
I don't remember how many.
How was that EP?
Actually, I liked it. I feel like it's like a roller coaster because he has like a song on there that's rock. He has the country song. Mm-hmm. He has like a pop song.
Mm-hmm.
He has hip hop on it. It's like literally, I feel like that man covered almost every single genre except for gospel.
Where the hell did he come from too? Because he's only 20 years old, right?
Yeah, he's super young. I don't even know. Like when he dropped Old Town Road, it didn't get much traction until... is it Thriller? The little video things people make.
Oh, yeah.
The song got blown up because of that. It was kind of like the same fate as Black Beatles by mm-hmm. Ray Shremmer. Like,
when
Black Beatles first came out, they gave it to radio stations and nobody was playing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody on Thriller, whatever it's called, that app, started making videos.
What is this app again? Thriller?
Thriller is like I'm pretty sure it's called Thriller. I don't want to call it the wrong
app. You're
going
to just teach me like all these new things.
You're the one with the fancy camera up here. I'm so behind on everything.
You're referring to the Mevo that we have. We have a Facebook Live going on right now.
Yes.
And I can't believe you've never seen this before.
No.
This is old school. This is the old man pretending to be cool. It's like, hey, look, I found a camera. Look at me, I found a camera. I'm with the kids.
You win. But yeah, it's called Thriller, and it's just a social video platform. It's kind of like Dub Smash.
Okay, I know what that is.
Yeah, it's kind of like Dub Smash.
All right, it's Thriller. All right, let's dive into our next song real quick. TLC's Red Light Special.
I feel like this is where you definitely hit the sexy half of the album.
Well, it's funny you say that because I think with the interlude, they're just kind of telling you a story with this album. And that's what I was kind of, when I was looking at the track titles and everything, they are taking you from, hey, we're going to hit you in the face with Creep and get you really, it's a real album right from the start. But, you know, we like to get sexy a little bit.
Yeah.
It's almost like you mentioned before. It's the crazy in the beginning, the sexy in the middle, and then the cool at the end.
Absolutely.
And this goes into with Red Light Special. All right, so we were talking about your logo.
Yeah.
So where did this inspiration come from? And for people who don't know, it's this cool, futuristic blue logo that you came from. I mean, where did the colors, the design? Tell me all about it.
Oh, man. So actually, this guy, his name is Barry. We worked together at AMC Movie Theaters. And... He told me how he went to college to be a graphic designer, but he wasn't using his degree like that. So I told him, like, you know what? I'm a DJ. You know, can you make me a logo? And he was like, sure. And he knew that I love 90s music. So he sent me an email with like 10 different designs. And like 7 out of the 10 had like a 90s feel to it, be it that it was like mimicking the Friends logo or the Martin TV show logo. He was doing stuff like that. But something about the one that I picked, it just kind of stuck to where I looked at it and I'm like,
yeah,
this is different. Like, I like this. And I posted like my top 3 favorites on Facebook, and the one that I selected won by a long shot. So, you know, I paid him for it. He sent me all of the rights to it and whatnot. So I 100% own the logo. And then from there, it was just kind of like, what to do next? So then I went and bought business cards. The car came along 2 years ago, and this is my, I'm going on 6 years of DJing. So the car came along because, with my equipment, I always had like a primary car, but I used to have a Chrysler 200, and it was like putting speakers in there was a hassle because it was a regular car. And then, after that car, I ended up getting a Mazda truck, which I still have now, but it has leather seats. It's like no one wants to really mess up leather seats with equipment.
No, I was going to say, yeah.
So,
and they get hot.
Yes.
Putting your electronics on there wouldn't be a good idea.
Horrible, because I hate even putting my back on the leather seats when it's too hot outside. But I saved up a lot of money. I had a gig that paid a lot, like my highest paid gig ever. So I like threw half of it towards my student loans, and then I originally wanted to buy a convertible. So my mom was like helping me go find a convertible. Cause I was like, I'm making good money. I can afford 2 cars right now. So we went to go look for a convertible, and I was dead set on finding a Mitsubishi Eclipse. Cause I love the movie Fast and Furious. I wanted the car like what Tyrese
has. I was like, why such a specific car?
This is going to come full circle in about 2 minutes. I promise you. It's a beautiful story now that I'm thinking about it. So we're looking at this one car, right? And it's like, it's okay. And my mom is just like walking around the lot, and she finds a Chevy HHR. But it's a 2-door, and the entire back is just like plain white space.
Okay.
She was like, can I see the trunk of this? And it's all cargo space in the back. It's a 2-seater with just cargo space. So my mom was just like, Sarah, I know you want to convert it, but what if you bought this instead? And then just tricked it out with your logo and stuff and use it as a DJ car. And she said it, I was like, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. I came here for a convertible. And then I went home and slept on it. I was like, that's a tax write-off. Okay, let me go look at this car. So then I started going on a hunt to find a Chevy HHR instead of a convertible. Like, she just squashed all my dreams real quick with it.
Wow.
But
just one comment.
Just one comment. My mom just, my mom has a tendency to like have a really great idea, and she'll just say the bubble idea and then let you figure out the rest.
Armed moms, they're the best at that. That's like that's some kind of like ninja skill they
have. That's her favorite thing to do. So I started the search to find the car. I found one on Facebook. Went through a ton of hassle to get the car, but I got it. And then from there, I was just tricking it out. So there's a logo shop by my house. I had them put the logo on it really, really big. I got blue underlights on it, so at nighttime it lights up.
I have
ground effect lights on it. That's my priorities were like, I want to be seen. Let me put lights on the car. And then from there, I just started adding more and more to it to where maybe 4 months later, I got a full wrap on the car. So now the hood of the car is decorated. The entire body of the car has graphics on it. The back window has graphics on it. Entire car is tricked out.
It's pretty damn recognizable too.
Yeah, you can't miss it.
You've had people like on the road like take photos of it and send it to you, right?
Yeah, all the time. Whenever I take the car out, especially out here in Chicago, it never fails. Either someone will yell at me while I'm driving, or people will just take videos as I drive by and then post it on Instagram and Facebook and tag me like, look who I saw today. But it's even better when my mom takes the car and she drives it around. Because sometimes, like, right now I own 3 cars. But sometimes she'll be like,
well, hold the fuck, you own 3 cars?
Yeah, I went back and bought my convertible. I've got the car like Tyrese. I got it. I bought the car.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's all come full circle.
All full circle,
You went back and bought your dream car, too.
I bought the dream convertible.
Wow.
I did. I bought it literally like 3 months ago.
Oh, my gosh.
That is
congratulations.
My baby. Thank you. Thank you.
What color is it?
Happy. It's black and white. It's two-tone.
Okay, that's...
That car is customized and very recognizable.
Mm-hmm,
so if I'm in the convertible or in the DJ car, you will see me from a mile away. You cannot miss it in either car.
Now, with your wrapped DJ mobile, it's almost like your Blues Brothers kind of car. People are just like, damn.
Yeah.
There she is.
Essentially.
Do you ever get stopped, like you're at McDonald's or something, and somebody's like, hey, you know, our wedding DJ dropped out. I saw your car. Here's my card.
I have people, it's funny, like I'll park the car, and if I'm walking up to people, we'll just take a picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll hear them walk away like, so-and-so needs a DJ for their birthday party. And then they'll send me an email like 2 or 3 hours later and not even know that I was walking up
behind
them.
That is genius.
Man.
Man, Casera, you're smarter than anybody.
That's my mom. That was all on my mom.
I love it. Your mom is a good, wise go-to.
Yes.
I guess. She's your sage almost.
Yes.
Okay, so let's do a quick pause back into the album. Waterfalls is our next song.
Yes.
This song is by far one of the most famous songs of all time, definitely by TLC. And this music video was just instrumental in creating their sound and showcasing them to the world.
Absolutely.
Such a 90s vibe. Starts
them
out with
standing
them
on water.
On water.
Like
surging and transforming from water to themselves. Waterfalls, it was actually written by group member Lisa Left Eye Lopez, we mentioned before, with Marquise Etheridge and Organized Noise, who produced the song. Rosanda Chili Thomas and Tian Tibaz performed the song as well. And it's funny to think that Lisa Left Eye did a lot of the writing because she's so introspective, and yet she just keeps her juicy spot and just hits that great rap in the middle of it.
Yes.
It's one of the most amazing songs ever. The lyrics of the song reference a 1990s issue that was really going on as far as violence goes, illegal drug trade, HIV/AIDS epidemic, and... They really focus on this one lyric here that goes, his health is fading and doesn't know why. Three letters took him to his final resting place. Wow. Yep. You know, you never ever think about this when you're watching it on MTV, how deep these songs go.
Yeah.
And this is, I'm so excited that we took on this album because I would have never guessed that they had such a social impact with their lyrics.
Absolutely. This song definitely hit on many levels.
Mm-hmm.
And even just watching the music video, you can see the impact that it has. Because the first verse talks about like a troubled son not listening to his mother and trying to, you know, evade trouble and still gets caught up in it.
Yeah.
So
we're watching the music video right now. And I remember this music video very intently because this was very scary for a young kid to watch the Troubles on the Street. And also, sidebar, it showed me that... shooting the gun on sideways for the first time ever, and then that all of a sudden that was in like every single movie from there on out as like the, and then I remember thinking in the playground people would be like no, if you do the gun sideways the bullets go faster.
Yeah.
But it's such a I'm making a joke, but I'm saying it's a very stylized music video.
Absolutely.
To show street violence and and just
it covers so much. And then even just like the chorus of "Don't go chasing waterfalls, please stick to the rivers and lakes that you're used to."
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like yes, aim for bigger, but also like realize your humble beginnings.
Yeah,
like don't go for something so big, and you're not ready to handle it yet.
Yeah.
Almost like pace yourself. So, and also like to heed the caution. I think that's like a major takeaway of this song.
Mm-hmm.
To always be cautious and very aware of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that there was another song on this album, maybe besides Creep, that got more radio airplay than this song too. And
yeah,
a lot of people
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
Which... it's sad, because honestly, Digging on You is one of my favorite songs.
Digging on You?
Yeah, Digging on You is definitely one of my top songs.
That was a pretty dope song. Let's dive into our next song then. Everyone's heard Waterfalls. It's another intermission. Intermission Lude.
Yes.
Number nine. You know, another person who had a lot of interludes and skits from the 90s. One of the greatest albums of all time was The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
Yes. Yes. That's Doma T Pongo's favorite album.
It is?
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Shout out to Doma T.
Oh, I miss Doma T.
Yeah, that's the homie.
Have you caught up with him lately?
I'm actually going to New York in September to make my DJ debut, so I plan on meeting up with him while I'm out there.
DJ debut in New York. Where are you going to be spinning at?
I'm spinning at two of the Soho houses.
No. And then come on.
A shoe boutique out there called Koi is going to be hosting a private event that I will also be DJing at.
Wow, and I'm invited. Thank you so much.
Yeah, come on out. Yeah, if you're out there, please.
Next song, Let's Do It Again. Yeah, well, with that, was it Miseducation that was after this album, obviously, right? Or was it before? I can't remember.
Know. That's a good question. I have no idea whatsoever.
That was battling of two of the best R&B songs that there, or albums that there ever were. Did you see her, Lauryn Hill, back in Pitchfork last year?
I did.
Yeah. What did you think of that?
It was amazing to be in the room
with her.
Yeah, and just be able to experience that. It was definitely amazing.
Now, what is, you know, it's funny to think about 90s music, because we were listening to Sugar Ray's, surprisingly enough, album Sugar Ray, and with Ashley Byhan. And when we were looking into that, I did some research, and Mark McGrath said something very interesting to me. He was talking about 90s music and how it prevails. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, in the 80s, even though a lot of the 80s music was really good, it was kind of goofy. And, you know, there was something about once 1990s hit and Nirvana came out and just smashed down everything we knew about disco music, pop music. It opened the doors for this really different, socially conscious, but also very, very gritty, cool music, you know.
Right.
And that is what made 90s music prevail, because everything else that came before it was kind of a joke.
Right.
And that's why we can look back at 90s music and be like, oh, that was a really good time for that music. And and listen to this. It still keeps up today.
Yeah, for sure. I think the thing with the 90s is, like, that was one of the few, if not the only, generation to where you were able to have all these different genres of music exist together at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
To where you could hear TLC, Nirvana, and all these other genres. And it wasn't like they were, yeah, they were competing against each other, but they were all able to exist within their own right.
Mm-hmm.
To where, like, now, if someone drops a great rock song or a great country song, you're only going to hear it if you follow that genre heavily.
Yeah.
Like, even, good I feel point. Like even the top 40 stations don't follow the same format they used to.
No. I can't even remember the last time I listened to top 40 radio.
I stopped listening to them. Because, like, when I was younger, my mom would always take me to the B96 summer bashes.
Yeah.
And it was like,
yeah,
the lineup would be like T-Pain, Ciara, Rihanna. This is really throwback. Jesse McCartney, like, just a very wide span of just so many different artists. But you had, like, the hip hop, the R&B, the pop, the country, whatever. Like, you were going to hear everything at the concert. But now you hear their lineup, and it's just all, like, teeny bopper. And half the artists I don't even know. I'm just like, I don't know who any of these people are. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I think that's why music, especially music festivals, have kind of become oversaturated, to be honest.
Absolutely. I think Pitchfork and Mambi are probably the only two that are actually enjoyable, because they bring out such a wide variety of artists.
Yeah. I mean, Lala, now it's like, it's so
I've never
hot.
Even been to Lala.
Oh, you haven't?
I've never gone to Lala before.
Oh, there's a lot of people there.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I've avoided it.
Maybe your first, when you get there for the first time, it could be when you're performing.
That's what I want it to be. My first time going to any music festival in Chicago was me performing at them.
Are you going to perform at Mambi again?
I don't know. I'm still working on it.
Okay,
we shall see. We shall see.
I thought we were about to get an exclusive.
No, I don't have any big exclusives on festivals this year. Okay. Not yet.
You've been pretty busy though, right?
Super busy. Yeah, last month I did 27 events in 30 days.
Jeez. All right, let's dive into the next song, If I Was Your Girlfriend. 27 events in 30 days.
How
do you keep up with your stamina? Because I think you're the most hardest working woman in the biz. let alone woman, any person in any business.
Thank you.
You bust it every single day, whether it be here at Crushing It at WGN, during your DJ sets on the weekend. I think
Thank
one
you.
Day I got done with work and you were there in the evening, and then I saw you at like at the Ace Hotel or something spinning at the same time.
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, I think my stamina is so high because I'm really doing this like for me and for my family.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it's like I look at it as like my success is also a way to like one, encourage other people. Like I want to be like an encouraging piece for people who are younger than me in any intersectionality that I exist in, be it that they're queer or they're a person of color, they're a woman, whatever it is. So I do it for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
I do it for myself because it's kind of like I feel like I'm living a dream. Like I tell my friends that all the time
because
they're all like, I wish I had your job. Like your job is so easy. And it's like, yeah, it's easy, but also it's very emotionally and mentally tiring.
Yeah.
Because it's like every event I go to, I have to be happy, bubbly, energetic. So it's like if something's going on in my personal life, I can't let that show when I'm working. I have to like put it away and pause it and go back to it later. I really think that just driving around is like the leading cause as to why I'm always so bubbly. I love driving around in my car.
You love driving in your car?
I just love driving in my car. That's it. I love driving around. And when I'm driving, I play the most random music. My playlists are very sporadic. Like one day I might be in the mood just to hear Matchbox 20, and that's all I'll play the entire time.
A little Push or 3 a.m.
Yeah.
You're like, just like, I'm feeling it.
Yes. And my friends, like some of my friends stopped riding with me because they were like, can I ride with you to your gig? And I'm like, sure. And I'll play the most off the wall music that I will never play during my set.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't understand it. And it's like, I don't want to hear what I have to play in an hour.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to hear it. I avoid it like the plague. So.
No, I totally get that. I totally, totally get that. I'm the same exact way when I'm at home or I'm practicing music, I listen to nothing. Or if I'm going to be playing a gig and I play a lot of folk music, a lot of covers and stuff like that, it's
right,
always
which
like,
you are killing the game right now. You up here talking about me. You are killing the game right now.
I don't know what game you're talking about,
okay.
But it's very much alive at the moment.
I'm proud of you.
Thanks.
Keep going.
Thanks, Kasira.
Of course.
But when I'm playing and I'm practicing, I need to be in a different mindset. I listen to a lot of sad songs when I'm just trying to play music because all my music is so happy.
Gotcha.
Most of the time.
See, I don't play a lot of sad songs.
Well, you're a DJ and you're supposed to get people to dance. What are they going to do, slow dance all your songs?
Actually, you know what? It's crazy. I started doing a lot of silent parties lately. And for whatever reason, R&B slow songs really, like, dominate the channels.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
So silent, you're talking about when you can go to a DJ and everyone gets their own
headphones.
Everybody
gets their own headphones, and it's like three DJs on three separate channels.
Mm-hmm.
You can just choose between what channel you want to listen to. But, I mean, it's so prevalent that I just got booked for another one in 2 weeks, and my channel is the R&B channel.
Wow.
I'm playing all R&B the entire time.
Man. And where's that going to be?
Happy's Bamboo Lounge.
Oh man, that's a great name for a venue.
Yeah,
Happy's Bamboo Lounge. Let's go to our next song. It's another interlude. It's called Sexy. Just showcasing a phone call. A lot of interludes in this where it's getting taken to a lot of different parts of the journey. But this is, like we said, probably the sexy portion of the album. When you're DJing, is there a certain song that is like your go-to, like this is going to turn the party up song?
Oh, that type of song?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, Old Town Road.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Old Town Road is that song. Or Suge by DaBaby. Lizzo right now is actually like a really good party starter. Lizzo's Truth Hurts hits pretty heavily. Chance the Rapper's No Problems is always a good hit, especially here in Chicago, because it's like we ride so heavy for Chance the Rapper.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
This Is How We Do It by Montel Jordan. No Scrubs by TLC. Work by Rihanna.
Okay.
Murder, She Wrote by Shaka Damus. Actually, you know what? Return of the Mac by Mark Morrison.
Oh my.
I don't know what it is about that song.
Ultimate classic.
But that song, no matter where I'm at, everyone starts singing in unison. Never fails.
Now, since you are a DJ, this is kind of an... I love how they're doing these little interludes, by the way.
They were just so goofy.
They were
young.
So goofy.
I feel like they had... I mean, it was a good thing and a bad thing, but they didn't really have like any... heavy guidance. But that's also the reason why they got screwed over so heavily in their record deal.
Big, big time. And you, it's funny you mentioned that because I was looking at who helped them with this album. And Yeah, it was a lot of great producers, Dallas Austin, Babyface, Jermaine Dupri, Sean Puffy Combs.
Yeah, Babyface and Pebbles are the two that screwed them over, though.
Really?
Yeah. Like, there's an interview, and Left Eye was saying, like, because someone was like, how does it feel that you've won all these Grammys?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, yeah, we've won all these Grammys, but we're still broke. Like, how someone explained to me why we're winning these Grammys, but we're still broke.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was real, and it, like, they talked about, like, how they really were broke, and they didn't really start seeing any money until their third album, Fan Mail,
mm-hmm.
which was released in, like, I think it was early 2000s.
And they were already in a downhill spiral. I mean, that's when so much music came out between this album and that last album.
Yes.
And it's funny to think that none of that, I think, would happen if there was Twitter or Instagram
Yeah,
around.
If there was social media, I feel like they definitely would have been saved.
They'd pull a Cardi B and be like, where's my money?
Yes, exactly. That, I mean, you just had so, I feel like with them, they just had two people who, like, said they had their best interest at heart, but really didn't.
Well, that's what happens when you're 20 years old and you sign a record album.
They were young. They were young. They were carefree. They were just having fun.
Yeah, look at Taylor Swift and how she got her, all of her albums just bought up underneath her by that manager, Scooter. And and now it's like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Being young, if you're going to be young, just go with the DJ Cash era route. Work your ass off.
The DJ Cash era route, I'm going to tell you, not even to sign to a label. Don't even sign to a label.
Don't even sign. Because what's the point now, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Tidal and all these other streaming platforms are giving independent artists the right to post their own music and collect all their own revenue.
And to this day, is Chance still not signed to an
As far as I know, if he's not signed.
Wow.
But, like, someone like Saba's not signed.
I like Saba.
Saba and Pivot Gang are amazing. Mm-hmm. I love those guys. I get to work with a lot of them all the time. They are amazing, and they're not signed to a label as far as I know of.
You got to take your time and don't sign to a label. This is the next song, Take Our Time.
Like No Name. No Name isn't signed.
You know, I've been hearing more and more about
No Name?
Yeah.
No Name is cold. She's actually really, really funny, too. Like, she's very sarcastic. Yeah.
So who are your favorite artists right now in Chicago? Who should we keep our eye on?
Chicago artists, Pivot Gang, off top, Pivot Gang. Jamila Woods, she's dropped a new project. It is absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Chance the Rapper, of course, is he's getting ready to drop his album this month. Oh man, who else? No Name, Valet. I like Valet a lot.
Valet.
Kid Ken is good. Yeah.
Kid Ken?
Kid Ken.
You know, does he spell it K.E.N?
No, he doesn't. It's Kid, K-I-D-D, and then Ken, K-E-N-N.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, he runs with Queen Key a lot.
Queen Key?
Yeah. Those two. Oh my gosh, what is his name? Femdot.
How do I know that name?
Femdot is cool.
Yeah, Femdot.
He's good.
Is that a DJ or is that a
No, he's
rapper.
A rapper.
Okay.
He's a rapper. Femdot. Ooh, King Marie. King Marie is a DJ and a singing artist. And she just dropped her EP. That's my little big sister. Because she's smaller than me, but she's older than me. That's my little big sister.
You know, I hope they're all watching this right now and just feeling the love from my Facebook Live.
I hope everybody. Well, yeah, I have so much love for the city, for sure.
When are you going to drop your album? Like,
no.
Are you collecting beats?
No, I'm not a rapper. I'm not a rapper. My best friend, Chandrick.
I'm talking about just an instrumental album.
An instrumental album.
Yeah.
I do not make beats yet.
Okay.
I'm still learning. Which also, Chandrick is another person to watch out for whenever he decides to drop his album. That's my best friend. Yeah, I don't know how to make beats yet.
Okay.
I'm still learning.
I feel like you're gathering, like you did when you were young, though. You're gathering all the information that really just pop out.
That's the thing. I hope that's what happens, to where I just keep gathering the information and then just doing it.
You're going to explode like a supercomputer.
I have a fear of making... Yeah, I have a fear of producing
beats.
Why? I don't know why. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I'm afraid to do it, so I haven't been putting that much energy into it yet.
You want to hear something funny? Like, there's something about doing something and failing a few times that kind of is liberating. Because when I was first starting playing music, and I'm sorry, I was talking behind the microphone like a total amateur.
No, you're good. You've been projecting. I can still hear you in my headphones. I'm projecting.
But I was saying, when I first started playing music, and I was trying to figure out how I'd create my sound, or I would find, you know, any kind of songwriting. I went into it knowing that I would suck. Mm-hmm. I went into it knowing that the first 100 songs that I wrote and the first 100 shows I played were going to be bad.
Wow.
And knowing that was very freeing, because I would just write my songs about, you know, hanging out in the woods or a girl that I like, or, yeah, or, you know, a best friend, or if somebody makes you mad, you just write a song that were like, you know, a lot of just A-B rhymes, really easy, you know, mm-hmm, could, would, he, whatever.
Right.
He, me.
Something he, me.
Already, I'm still trying to figure out these rhymes.
Okay.
And when I was doing that, though, it helped me kind of release that fear.
Mm.
And then a lot of it came from like putting stuff online and being, you, yeah, know, just showing myself to the world.
It.
Getting feedback, whether it be good or bad, because I know that some people are like, what the hell is he doing? This is, what is going on here, man?
You know what? I had somebody ask me the other day. Because I used to make DJ mixes when I was like first started out.
Uh huh.
And I have them hidden away in a vault.
Oh.
On a flash drive. Far away from the world.
Buried underneath a ground.
Yes, it's hidden to where it's like you would never know they're there anymore. But people who are like have heard me DJ from the beginning till now, I had one of them come up to me and she was like, you know what, Sarah, you're doing really, really good because you used to suck. And I was just like, oh,
wow.
My God.
Just
my
right
heart.
In your face.
She hit so heavy. She was like, no, I'm saying this is a way to congratulate you. And mm-hmm, I was like, thank you so much. I feel so much better now.
Mm-hmm.
But I get what she was saying. Like, it was great. It was great for her to be able to see my progression. So I get what you're saying.
Did it make you feel better when she said that?
Yeah, a little bit. I was like, oh, you paid attention to me. She mm-hmm was like, at first I was a little worried about you, like, ooh, this might not work. But you kept going and you got better with it. You kept practicing at it. So mm-hmm, I'm like, all right, thank mm-hmm you.
Oh, see, that's good. A little constructive criticism never hurt anybody.
Yeah, my best friends noticed it too, though. Like, they've noticed, like, the changes that I've done with my mm-hmm DJing style and whatnot. Like, now I'm at a point where I barely use headphones.
Wow.
So I've been challenging myself to memorize all of the songs in my library to where I know how they start, how they end, and where, like, the chorus is, the breakdown, know all the lyrics, everything.
My gosh.
And as of right now, I know every single song in my library.
Wow. How big is your library?
Couple thousand
songs.
Because I have everything from, like, Motown and other oldies to disco to 80s, 90s, early 2000s, today's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I'm known for always blending in nostalgia and throwbacks into my sets.
Yeah. All right, let's dive into the next song real quick with Busta Rhymes, Can I Get a Witness?
Another interlude.
You know, I think that this CD maybe should have been called TLCI.
Interlude.
Yeah. Yeah. Or just straight up interlude.
The interlude. That's it. The interlude.
So you're diving into your career and you're finding out, meeting all these great people. Are there,
yes,
what has been like the one shining moment that you've had thus far in the career of DJ Cashera?
Oh my gosh, I have to pick one. I think I have two.
Okay, we can deal with two. We have time on this podcast.
Yeah, I have two top ones. The first one, with Louder Than a Bomb, they asked me to DJ the Louder Than a Bomb finals at the Roosevelt Auditorium
mm-hmm
in 2017. And that was the same year that I graduated from Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
So LSAT final was like, they sold out the entire auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
And they threw me on the stage and I said a DJ for the first half while people were filling in their seats. And they were like t-shirt cannons on the stage and they're throwing out t-shirts at people. A group by the name of the Happiness Club was on stage dancing with us. And it was just a beautiful moment. And I just took a step back and just looked like, there's over 400 people in here.
Mm-hmm.
I am walking across this stage in 2 months to get my diploma. And I'm DJing on this very stage right now, making all these people sing and dance with me.
Wow.
That moment. And then last year when I went to London.
Yeah. Tell us about that story. How did that even come to be? You DJed in London.
Yeah.
Everything paid for.
Yeah, almost. All I had to pay for was my trip round flight. Everything else was covered.
Mm-hmm.
I DJed a poetry event at Oak Park River Forest, and the keynote speaker they had there was from London. Her name is Rachel. And after the event, she came up to me and she was like, I love your DJ style. I'm from London. your DJing is unlike anything I've ever heard before. I want you to come out and DJ my organization's event in June. So she followed up with me on an email, and we started talking, going back and forth. And it was literally like 2 or 3 days after the Gay Pride Parade last year.
Which you are on the float master, I guess we can call you.
Yeah, something like that. Hopefully I get to do it again next year.
You provide all the music for WGN Radio as we ride in the parade, the Pride Parade, which has hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah, and this year they projected 1 million to be out there.
My gosh, it's the biggest crowd ever.
Yeah.
And you look like you're having the best time.
I love
up
it.
There. Oh my
I
gosh.
I love it. Like last year when they asked me to DJ the Pride Parade, I literally cried. Like after I said yes and I left the station, I started bawling my eyes out because it was a dream came true.
Oh.
I called my mom. I'm like, Mom,
we made it.
They want me to DJ the Pride Parade. I was crying my eyes out. Like last year, June, it was just like I did a music festival. Pride Parade, left for London, came back and like went right back to work.
Holy smokes.
But yeah, as far as London, you know, she told me what the event was. So I locked in that one day, and then I went to Kevin Colville, who is like the guru of the world.
Yeah.
He knows people all over.
Hosted the Corner Store podcast, which also you produce.
Yes, indeed.
Here on WGN.
Yes, mm-hmm. Only on WGN.
Mm-hmm.
But I told him, like, hey, I got this offer to go to London. Can you help me get booked? And he reached out to the Ace Hotel out there, and they gave me a night to spend. I booked my flight, and I was gone for a week. But while in London, I was the outlier, and I was the person with the accent, of course. But during my set, like, I got nervous because I'm just like, the DJ before me played all Afro beats,
mm-hmm.
As that's very prevalent in London.
What is Afro beats?
Afro beats is, think of it like Chicago house music,
okay,
but a little bit more rhythmic and has more lyrics in it. It's like an actual song.
Okay.
Where like house music is more so just like a repeated beat,
mm-hmm.
and repeated lyrics. Afrobeats is like that, but actually has like a full song over it.
Okay.
Cool. So when I heard the Afrobeats rhythm, I'm like, well, this is like our house music.
Yeah.
And I started playing house music and people started dancing the same way. There was like, oh, what is this? Mm-hmm. And I told them like, oh, this is house music. And it just allowed people to understand like the intersectionalities.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not from London, but I know music that's like what you guys have here. But I remember I played Candy by Cameo. And everyone in the room did the electric slide together, which is what I see people do here. So when I saw them do it there, I was just like, wait a minute. I am hours away from home. I don't know anybody out here but Rachel and two other people.
Mm-hmm.
I am making an entire room do the electric slide. What are the odds of this?
That you bring people together is what you're doing.
Yes. And it was such a beautiful experience. And I think I will forever hold that so dear to my heart. Just being able to go to London by myself. My first time traveling overseas at all. And people did the electric slide to my DJing.
I love that story so much.
Thank you.
And thank also you. Because mainly because I love choreographed dances.
It was beautiful. It was so beautiful. And they were on beat. They were in rhythm together as a unit. That's rare to see out here.
Oh my gosh. That's just the power of music.
Yeah.
We have two more songs left. This is Switch by TLC. And then we'll dive into the rating at the end of it for the last song. This is kind of funky. It's a little sample
it's
of...
a sample.
What's this the sample of again?
Oh...
Dun, dun, dun. Who do you think you are, Mr.
Yes.
Big Shot?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank
okay.
you.
See, this is why I love diving into these albums. You learn something new.
Indeed.
So you were out in London bringing people together with your music and everything. Is there times when you just go through a set? I'm sure there are. When you just like kind of go on autopilot the entire time and then you get... Do you try to be more present with your music now that you had that moment of the electric slide when you're like, oh my gosh, I'm playing music and people are dancing and having the time of their lives and I'm making it happen?
I feel like the only time that I go on autopilot is when it's like, when it's a gig where I know that I'm just background music,
mm-hmm.
and no one's really there to listen to me. I'm just there to fill like the quiet spaces.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as making people dance, my goal with every set is to either make you dance, make you sing, or give you a moment where you're like, oh, I remember this song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if I can do that, then I feel like I did my job. Like,
yeah.
I know that some people don't like to dance, some don't like to sing, some don't like either. But if I can just play some song that you haven't heard in a while, or a song that, like, takes you back to a summer that you did something,
mm-hmm.
or, like, whatever season, if I can give you that moment, and I can see it on people's faces every mm-hmm. time it happens, because they'll be like, oh, I haven't heard this song in however long.
Yep, yep.
And they just get excited and happy about it. That's one of my favorite moments. Like, the other day I was at an event and I played TLC's the All That theme song.
That's right. TLC wrote the All That theme song from Nickelodeon.
But when I play it in a room full of 90s babies,
mm-hmm.
we haven't heard that song in so... Well, they haven't. I play
yeah.
it all the time.
Yeah.
But they haven't heard that song in so long.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it takes you back. Well, you remember the Amanda Show, and mm-hmm. you remember all the little skits they did.
Yeah.
And you just remember, like, mm-hmm. all the graphics of the TV show.
And getting to be at home with, like, your mom, and she really
yes.
making grilled cheese sandwiches in the back.
Yes.
Or yes.
Everything. And, like, playing that song and just seeing everybody get excited and start singing it together, it is so beautiful to watch.
Oh, man. See, that's the power of music.
Absolutely.
I think music has a stronger tie to memory than things like smell, even sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like music can sometimes tie you into a smell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, certain songs, you'll be like, oh, I remember I was at so-and-so's barbecue.
Yeah.
And you'll remember, like,
yeah.
what was grilling on the grill.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I always remember... I was running the other day, and I put it on shuffle on my playlist or something, and I got flashback to, like, a time when I was getting done with, like, theater rehearsal, and I was like, why am I remembering this, like, super strange memory?
Yeah.
And it was because I was listening to that song when it happened.
Yep.
It was like, it's crazy the way your mind works.
Yeah.
And just the power of music. And you're talking about making people dance, making people sing, making people
yeah.
feel good. They talk about the power of music as far as it could take somebody who has Alzheimer's and they can remember a song,
yes.
but they can't remember their name.
Yes.
How crazy is that?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Let's dive into our last song, Something Wicked Comes This Way, featuring up-and-coming indie artist back then, Andre 3000.
Yeah, their features on this song,
so
on this entire album, rather, went crazy.
It's incredible. The sample credits alone spans two pages of printed paper.
Yep.
Everyone, Charles Asbury, Dallas Austin, BB, Andre 3000, Bernaski, CeeLo, Sean Puffy Combs, Babyface, Brian Fry, Tim Kelly, Deborah Killings, Tori Lorenz, Jermaine Dupree, and that's not even half of it.
I think just even like
Busta Rhymes
being able to list off all these artists, and especially like someone like Puffy and CeeLo and Jermaine Dupree, like Puffy and Jermaine were like monumental producers
mm-hmm.
in the 90s and still are now. Like, you can't list all producers without thinking of them too, and so many others.
Yeah,
but it just goes to show like how many people believed in these
yeah,
three girls.
That's
like
right.
You couldn't deny what they were going to do and what they were going to become. And it was like, you wanted to be a part of their sound. You
yeah.
wanted to help them get to the next level.
Be part of the team. And you know what?
Yes.
We forgot to mention in the beginning, I did say four names, and you
yeah,
said, who the
like,
hell is that?
Who's that fourth name? That name
that
does not belong.
And
but after you read about it, I'm like, yes. Okay, so the thing is, what were the four names we have?
Tion Watkins,
Crystal Jones, Lisa Lopez, Rosanda Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Crystal Jones is the one that I was like, who the hell is Crystal? That don't belong. But the thing is, so when the group was originally becoming together, Crystal was a part of the group, and she wasn't really hitting the sound.
Mm-hmm.
And then Chili came along, because
mm-hmm.
originally it was always... wait, I might be wrong. It might be T-Boz that came in. Either way, Left Eye was always in it.
Yeah, she was always
Left
in
Eye
it.
Was always there from the beginning. But yeah, Crystal wasn't working out, and they brought in... I want to say they brought in Chili. I'm like 95% sure they brought in Chili. So then Chili came in, and that's where you get TLC from. But I don't even know that Crystal was listening on any songs. I don't know that she has any vocals on any songs. Not that I know of. So I feel like if I walk around the street and ask anybody, like, hey, who are the members of TLC? They're going to be like, T-Boz, Left Eye, Chili. And
yeah.
I'm like, no, who's the original? And they're going to look at me like I'm speaking a foreign language and ask me if I know who TLC really is. So, Yeah, I don't know who Crystal is, but she didn't make the cut.
No,
I mean, same thing like with Destiny's Child, though, because Destiny's Child had, like, two randoms twice.
Yeah,
the only two that always stuck was Beyonce and Kelly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even bands like the Beatles had Pete Best and everything. You know, I feel like for every great band, one person
always gets cut. And I, you know what? This is why I would hate to be in a group.
Right.
I don't want to be the one that gets cut.
I feel like that would be me. I'd be like, I'd get the hairstyle. I'd go and buy the convertible and the chains, like, right from the get-go. And they'd be like, sorry, Mike.
Yeah, like, hey, yeah, you did great on that one song. We want a different sound. We no longer need you. Like, I don't want to be the person that gets cut.
I'd be like, what do you mean you don't need a tambourine player? That's my role.
Yeah, because then I feel like, and then once you get cut, you have to watch what they do after you, and it's like, oh, I could have been there.
Yeah,
I should have been there.
That's the worst. So I think there's one story that I read it's a legendary rock and roll story. The band Metallica had one of the greatest guitar players of all time.
Yes,
and then he got kicked out of the band and created Megadeth, which was kind of Metallica light, but he needed to watch Metallica just become the biggest hard rock band ever. Well, he got to sit and like never get that kind of fame. That would make me so
bitter. That's what I wouldn't want.
Bitter.
I wouldn't want that. Huh. So I got cut, and now look at me.
Yeah.
Look at what I'm doing now. Look at what they're doing. They left me behind. Like, it has to hurt. This video right here for this is just showing, like, it was showing clips of the crash when Left Eye crashed.
Oh, yeah. You know, that was a running thing. Do you remember when MTV would do those documentaries and they would talk about the way she was kind of feeling that something was off in her life, and
like then she felt a week later. But she always said that she realized she was going to pass at a young age.
Yeah, she had a really tough life. I mean, she had she was always upfront about her personal life and difficult past. Yeah. Came from abuse, alcoholic background, problems with alcohol herself, lit somebody's house on fire. Yeah. I mean, she had a pretty troublesome life.
I mean, I feel like she was the original hot girl. Like, Meg Thee Stallion has it right now, but Lisa... Mm-hmm. Left Eye Lopez definitely kicked off the hot girl with setting that man's house on fire.
Yeah, so a quick trivia question.
What's up?
What was her penance for setting that guy's house on fire?
Oh,
did she go to jail? How many years?
I don't think she went to jail. Did she have to pay a fine? Did she go to jail?
5 years probation and therapy at a halfway house.
See, I knew she didn't go to jail.
Burning a person's house.
She didn't go to jail, I knew she didn't go to jail,
No way.
Because, I mean, but also the reason why she burned his house down, like, after hearing the reasoning, I'm like, okay, all right. Because they were dating, and she came into the house and just saw, like, all these different bags of clothing that he bought for another woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she kept asking him, was he cheating?
Mm-hmm.
He had gotten caught before.
Mm-hmm.
Said that he wasn't going to do it again, and then got caught red-handed. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, I feel like sometimes men don't listen, but if you set their house on fire and everything that they've just purchased, they might listen to you.
Things turn around real quick.
Yeah, I think if you bring out a match and some lighter fluid, things might go your way. But also, she had meant to just keep it confined to the bathroom.
Yeah.
She put everything in the tub and lit that on fire.
Yeah.
But she put too much lighting fluid on it, and it went throughout the entire house. I know so much more about TLC than I thought I did. Wow. I really, really have watched their documentaries a lot.
You're a wealth of knowledge with this. Well, with that, are you ready to dive into... I have three final questions to ask you before we close out this
album. Let's do this.
All right. Three final questions. You're a producer here at WGN. You have access to a lot of people. Have you ever tried to interview or speak to anybody from TLC?
No, I have not.
Would you ever?
I think I would. I'm actually going to see them in concert in August.
Really?
So I'm excited about that. But yeah, I don't know why I never reached out to them.
Okay. Have you ever met any of them?
No.
Okay.
I've met a lot of celebrities, but never anybody from TLC.
Okay.
I think, yeah, I don't know. I low-key want them to go on like a tour. Like, even if it's like another, like, kind of like what Millennium Tour did.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a 90s tour. And, like, they come out and go on a tour. I think that would be great. Then I would try my best to interview one of them.
What if, like, they went on tour and, like, you know, they built a super group where, like, Cardi B stood in for Lisa Left Eye?
Nah, it couldn't be a Cardi B. It couldn't be a Cardi B.
Okay.
I think, I feel like, I can't even think of a rapper that could stand in for Left Eye. Because I'm just thinking, like, what artist embodies
that kind of energy,
that type of energy and mentality.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know. It's a tough one.
I can't even think of one.
I think I would push for a Meg Thee Stallion. Ooh, or a Tierra Whack.
You know what? I was just thinking
I think
I'm like,
Tierra
what is Tierra
Whack?
I couldn't remember her name for a second.
I think a Tierra Whack might hit.
Holy smokes. She is the hottest, and I think she's at the top of her game, right?
Well, she is. She's not even
building
enough credit
she's
yet.
She's building.
She's not getting enough credit yet.
Yeah, I saw her at South by Southwest, one of the greatest performances I saw that entire time. Tierra
Whack. I think
Whack.
A Tierra Whack would fit. If they wanted a stand-in, I would put my bid in for Tierra Whack.
That's awesome. Okay,
that's my bid.
All right, so how about you're at the karaoke bar?
Yes.
What's your go-to TLC song?
Ooh, No Scrubs.
Mm-hmm.
Or What About Your Friends?
Ooh,
yeah.
I like that. The
B side.
Yeah,
those are my go-tos.
Finally, you're in a room with them. You get to ask.
I'm in a room with TLC.
With TLC, and posthumously, it could be whatever you feel. You're in a room with TLC.
Okay.
What's one question you would ask them?
Oh my gosh. If I was in a room with TLC and I could ask them any one question,
mm-hmm.
I think I would ask them, what do they think about today's music? And do they believe if they were making the songs that they made in the 90s today, would it have the same social impact that it did in the 90s?
That's a great question. I think that they would appreciate that because you'd probably see into the music they were trying to make.
Yeah.
Because as we were talking about, the lyrical composition of what they put together on this album, which I thought before going into it with you was just a bunch of pop songs.
No.
Seeing this.
All their songs. I mean, even like No Scrubs. No Scrubs telling you, like, ladies, do not date a bum. Like, don't do it. It's clever, but it's also like, look, you have standards. Don't let him play you. Like, all of their songs hit. Like, they have one song called His Story,
mm-hmm.
and it literally talks about, and no one ever plays it,
mm-hmm.
but it literally talks about how, like, when a man states something, it's taken as fact. When a woman says something, it's questioned.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so real. Like, you can listen to it today, and you would think that they recorded it yesterday, because it's like, wait a minute, that's very true. Hold on, like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I feel like all their songs like that, where it's just, it holds such a heavy societal impact. But yeah, that's what I would ask them, because I feel like all the other typical questions they've been asked, like, oh, what's your biggest regret as an artist? Or
mm-hmm.
if you could go back, what would you do differently? They've already answered those questions.
Mm-hmm.
Or I might ask them, like, hey, if you guys go on tour, can I be your DJ? I think that would be my other question, too.
I think that would be a fair question to ask. Like if you get the one time in the room, you're not going to ask to go on tour with them?
I'm definitely asking to go on tour. Or just even do a show with them, or, like, stand backstage and watch, like, mm-hmm. something. I just want to be near the stage when they do their thing.
I love it. All right. So we rate these albums. It's on a scale of 1 to 7. 4 is the true neutral. It's the Avenged Ooh. 7 scale. So after listening to TLC's Crazy Sexy Cool, what do you give this album?
I will give it a 5.5.
5.5.
5.5.
Pretty strong. I mean, I thought you were going to go all the way to the top.
No, not all the way to the top. Because I feel like they have better albums. I kind of feel like Ooh on the TLC Tip is a better album.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll give it a 5.5 because I just feel like they've definitely, this is a heavy hitting album, mm-hmm. but I think compared to their other pieces of work, they have other work that holds stronger.
I love it. Well, that is probably where I would go to as well. I mean, I went into it thinking this is going to be a pop album. We're going to go through it. I didn't realize it had so much social impact and so mm-hmm. many through lines that I wasn't even looking at. And the sampling of the album is pretty cool too.
Yes.
I'm going to give it a 5.
Okay.
Solid 5, though.
All right.
Solid 5.
I'll take it.
Because I think that looking back at this album, I would have given it a lower rating before, but after going through with you, I think we learned a lot together.
There we go.
All right. Where can we find more of your stuff, your info? Where can we see your van?
my Cashmobile.
Yeah.
I am on all social media platforms, be it Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you name it, I am there. At symbol DJ Cash Era. DJ Cash like money, era like a new era hat. And then if you want to find events that I'm at, you can go to my website, djcashera.com. On the events page, and you will see a rolling calendar of where I am day by day.
You are everywhere, and I can't thank you enough for joining us on Two Dudes,
One
Disc.
Thank you for having me. This was absolutely amazing. Thank you so much.
All right. I will see you guys next week. Thank you again, DJ Cash Era. See her everywhere. Thank you, TLC. Later.